Ready if you are.
I am, my dear.
Okay. Welcome to the Heritage series of the UUSM Connections podcast. I'm your host, Jack Brennan, Connections at Unitarian Universalist of San Mateo. If you're a regular listener, then you know that the Connections podcast usually focuses on the individual people that are part of the UUSM community. This heritage series is a little different in that the focus is on the history of UUSM through the lens of the individual people who have the most history at UUSM. Our transition team wrote the questions that I will be asking, and the questions will be the same for every person who's interviewed as part of the heritage series. My guest today is Lillian Barden. Let's get started. Welcome, Lillian. When and why did you first come to UUSM?
I was living in Oakland for a couple of years, and I had gone to the Oakland Church a couple of times. And the one time, the last time I went, they had a husband and wife, reverends,
Yeah.
and she was a fanatic about baseball, and it was the baseball season. They both did a service that was based on baseball, and it was just delightful. And I thought, this is something that speaks to me.
Yeah.
And shortly thereafter, I moved to San Mateo, and I decided I would continue with the UU, and I went to a service. And the service was with Joy Atkinson. And Joy was a fanatic about space travel. So she did a sermon on space travel. And I thought to myself, okay, this is a woman minister again doing a service on space travel. I think I found my home. So
And what year was that?
I checked it out. Actually, it was 1990.
All right. All right.
So it's a while.
Been a while, yeah. Why did you stay at UUSM? What's kept you there all these years?
I made a lot of good friends, and we had a lot of groups. I remember not too long after that, Joy did a group on building your own theology. And it was wonderful. And it made me think quite a bit. And I just kept joining groups. I don't know exactly when I joined the church, but it probably was a couple of years later.
Yeah.
So.
What do you remember most about those early years?
I remember the building your own theology. We had a number of groups. We did Monday night potluck. It was very good for me because I had not lived in San Mateo before. I felt connected. I felt the community spirit, and I found people who thought like me and were interested in the world like I was.
Which staff members or lay leaders would you say made the most impact here over the decades? I know you already mentioned Joy Atkinson. Who else?
Lynn Ewing, I was in a couple of groups with her sometime during there. I worked for the UU, taking care of their finances and setting up their computer finances. I worked a lot with Glenn, and he was a delight. He was really a wonderful human being. He was always calm. He learned quickly. I was very sorry when he left. I thought that was a big loss to the church.
And he
And
was the administrator, the office
he was
person.
the office administrator. He also did the accounting. I thought it was unfortunate that we lost him because he was really very important and he dealt with people very kindly. I missed him. I also appreciate Paul Zawilski. I love his piano playing, and I always sit and listen to the postlude or whatever it is.
Yes,
but
I
it's
agree.
just rich.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I've met a lot of parishioners, women. I've met him excellent friendships of other women that I feel have enriched my life.
Absolutely. What were the highlights that you'd like to cite in UUSM's history? When did the congregation come together around a common mission and goals and really live that out together with a sense of meaning and purpose and pride and fulfillment?
I think we did that on an ongoing basis. I think that when they went to the Philippines, I think that was a very enriching experience for everybody that was involved. I took over the aging, disaging group way back, and it was just very enriching to talk about many of the issues that we had to deal with as women growing older. We were a men and women group, but the men just didn't like to dig too hard. But then Dick opened up a group and sort of met their needs.
Yeah. And you still have that aging disaging group, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. We're now online, maybe pretty much smaller than we used to be, but still talking about things that come up for us as aging women and things that we have to deal with. We've dealt with a number of deaths in the last 2 or 3 years. It's hard if you didn't have friends to share it with. We've had slow deaths and sudden deaths, and it's hard. It's hard.
Yes. What were some of the low points in our UUSM community's history? Where has there been the most pain?
I think there was a great deal of pain around the Vietnam issues. There were many who felt that our government was going in the wrong direction. And I think we lost some parishioners because of it at that time. It was just uncomfortable because we didn't really know what was happening. And we had all of that nonsense with Nixon and whatnot. I think that because of the nature of who Unitarians are, we do vest ourselves in what's going on in the political scene, and we take it seriously. In fact, I stopped going for a bit.
During that time?
Not during the Vietnam, but during all that turnover with Vail and Ben and whatnot. I was upset about that. I felt that we didn't have the wherewithal to deal with that correctly so that the congregation wouldn't feel the pain. I think it was badly handled by the principals themselves. I can't be more specific than that, but it was uncomfortable. It wasn't in keeping with our values. We had tools to deal with that kind of issues, and we didn't use them. So, and I hope we learned something by it.
Yeah. Looking back over the years, what do you think this congregation does best?
I was going to say party.
Well, that's true.
That's true. Yeah. I think when we're called upon to do it, we are kind and we take care of each other. I've had a lot of support from my women friends in the church, and they continue to, and I continue to work with them. So I think that we connect. Maybe that's the best word. We connect with each other in significant ways. When it's hard, it's hard, and we know how to do it. That's what I would say.
Connections is so important, and it's my favorite word, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that. I wonder where I've heard it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think it's very important. Much of the research having to do with particularly with the elderly, does give the importance of connection as vital to survival. Just
right.
Being able to have somebody you can talk to will understand where you're coming from, what you care about.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's been particularly important to me because, as you know, I had pneumonia, I had a couple of bad falls, etc. So I haven't been attending church in person. I have had to rely on Zoom, which I like, frankly. I do like it. It serves a purpose for me. But the fact that we have it, I think it speaks to our caring. So.
What is unique about this congregation?
I wrestled with this. I can't really say, because outside of being a Catholic for several years, I haven't explored much in other areas. I am interested in religion. I think that UU gives me a place. It's not perfect. Sometimes we don't get to talk about the things we want to talk about. It's a place that, as I say, I have experienced kindness at UUSM. I'm not an easy person. I'm not easy to get along with. I tend to be kind of cranky at times. I appreciate when people are kind. And when they appreciate what I do, I think that's the other side of the coin.
Yeah. When was UUSM most engaged with the wider community? What partnerships in the local community have been the most fruitful and generative, and why?
Well, I tried to think about this. I know our work with the African American church has been important. I think the construction and COVID has limited us significantly in many of those areas. I like it when we have speakers from other churches and get some sense of what they're doing. The Philippines, I mentioned before, the Homework Central has been a mainstay. The various groups that I think that we could probably connect more with other congregations in San Mateo. I think that we don't do enough of it and they don't do enough of it, you
Right.
know. And I think that that's, I think that we tend to separate ourselves from each other, tend to think we're important. And if we go talk to the other church, maybe somebody won't like it, etc. But I would like to see us do more of that, because I don't know that I'm an atheist, but I'm pretty close to one. So agnosticism probably comes as close. I'd like to be more comfortable at UU in that role. I don't think it, we discuss enough with the people who don't have a theology.
Yeah.
I would like to see some sort of a group, you know, Agnostics United or something of that.
Well, you know, Lillian, you're free to start a new group anytime you want.
I have, what have I got now? I've got one every week with PFS. I've got another one. I've got two a week, sometimes three. I think I'm doing okay.
I think you are too.
Yeah.
What parts of our history and heritage do you think we should intentionally carry forward now?
I'd like to see us do more with the sort of Homework Central crowd. I know they have a new facility, so they may not be interested. But I'd like us to stay connected with them. I find that, I think as a society, we do a terrible job for our kids. You know, I'd like to see us do more. And with the African American community, I think we used to have dinners with them. However, we can keep up with that.
Yeah, I hope we can do more outreach, like you were talking about, with other churches in the area. And I think that that went away really during COVID, right? Because we couldn't get together. Nobody was getting together with anybody. And then when we finally got back together, we were very inward looking, taking care of each other. In the case of UUSM, we didn't really have a big space to invite people to, right? We were kind of crammed into that hall.
We couldn't invite them because we didn't have a bathroom. I think some sort of ecumenical get-togethers, etc. Maybe we can have a grand opening for our sanctuary and invite the troops along.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
And maybe put, I was thinking of just that one of the things we do need in San Mateo is some sort of a speaker series. I think that we have the speaker series, but it's very expensive. I don't know if they've even restarted it again, but there might be commonalities in terms of what's of interest. Just a speaker on poverty in San Mateo County, I think, would be interesting.
The world has changed so much over the last decade or two, and religious communities like ours are being forced to change and experiment and try new things. Given your own experience and perspective as an elder in our community, what do you see as our biggest challenges and our biggest opportunities now as a congregation?
I think our challenges and our opportunities are similar. I think global warming will catch the interest of our kids. I think it already has in many areas.
Yes.
But I think it's something that they have to have a strong part of. and be able to articulate what they feel there. Finding out where that dividing line is in terms of our kids. Is it at 6 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old where they recognize that their survival depends on their engagement with what's going on with global warming? My generation can't do it anymore. I think that that's our role as an elder, is to encourage the kids. We had that, what did we call it, where the kids wrote back and forth with the older folks.
Mystery pen pals?
Mystery pen pals, et cetera. But I would like to see more connection around global issues. I also am terrified that we will elect this horse's ass as our president. And that's going to be a real challenge for our young people, I think, to understand what's happening. Lots of stuff. And I'm tired. I mean, I think that what I see as trends in, I think we're getting older.
Right.
I think the average age of our parishioners is much older than it was before.
Yeah.
And young people have to work.
Right.
So there are some challenges there. I think we ought to encourage our young people to choose some of the challenges, maybe just one that makes them feel like they're part of the problem as well as part of the solution. So, amen.
Amen. May it be so.
Yes, may it be so.
Thank you so much, Lillian, for talking with me today. I always enjoy every conversation with you. So this was especially fun for me. And I learned some things as well. Thank you again for that. And of course, thanks as always to our listeners, and keep making connections.